page 21. 21.
Enjoyed the snow and the cold, and then yesterday was about as nice a fall day as you'll see. But I'm not sure if we're in fall or winter. I thought we were in fall, and then about 2 days after I thought that, we had winter and it's been cold. Now it's warm, now it's wet. I just don't know, I can't keep up with it. But still leaves on the tree, so I guess we're not in the dead of winter yet. Jerry said he poured a gallon of water out of his rain gauge.
The other time I told you I poured a half gallon of bleach down the well.
Oh. To be quite honest, I misunderstood what he said a while ago. I was just kind of wondering if he'd change his story. We have a deal going on about our water gauges. Mine leaks, by the way, so. It had rained just a little bit at the house this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad y'all all came. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad to have you. Hope you'll come back and visit with us again. But while you're here, just join in with us as we sing praises and worship God and read from His Word here in just a little bit. So we have a busy, November's had a few things going on, like hay rides and this, that, and the other. But December, grab a hold, here we go. We got a lot of stuff going on. So keep your bulletin handy so you can keep up with everything. This morning, the second time the plate is passed is for Brother Walter to help him and Miss Violet in their ongoing doctor visits and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. We appreciate all the help you give them. Thanksgiving baskets will be delivered this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So need to be here at 3, especially those that are taking baskets to someone. We'll put them all together and have those ready. If you can't, then we talk a little bit. We'll figure that out. This week, the midweek service, don't forget, Tuesday instead of Wednesday. And so that's just so that we have a little bit of time, people that are traveling and whatnot, get ready for Thursday, Thanksgiving. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday, the 25th, will be then our youth fund offering, stuff like that. So Keep that in mind. Next Sunday evening will be the Lord's Supper. We moved that ahead a week from normal just because of the scheduling conflicts in December. So keep that in mind. Sister Dana Stone is going to prepare that. Saturday, December 1st at 6:30 will be the Christmas program at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And if you want to go or can go, if you would, there's a bulletin like this or a flyer back there on the back table. Just write your name down on the back of it. If there's enough that want to go, for sure, we'll take the van. And if you can and want to, please do so. Sunday evening, December the 2nd, will be our business meeting. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to be a part of the business meeting, right? God's business we're here dealing with, so plan on coming to that. Really, we don't get in fist fights or anything, or at least we haven't since I've been here. So, maybe that's why nobody comes. Maybe we ought to schedule a tag team or something like that.
If we start doing that, we'll have to charge admission.
All right. Plan on business meeting coming that night. Sunday, December the 9th, will be our Christmas dinner at 4 o'clock. So we'll all meet here at 4 o'clock in the evening and have our annual Christmas dinner. And then we will leave from there and go over to the rest home and sing carols to Brother Dean. Miss Pat said he's already looking forward to it. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it as well. And last year it was a lot of fun. So I encourage you to come and take part in that as well. All right, then, Wednesday, December the 12th is the youth Christmas party. And I see on here, too, it's going to be Cindy's anniversary party as well. So, Ben's, I can't eat cake. Y'all better come and help get rid of that, right? So plan on coming to that. It'll be a lot of fun. December the 23rd at 6 p.m. will be a Christmas piano concert with a reception to follow. Now, Brother David, if you've not heard him play his Christmas concerts, I'm sure this will be a little bit different. You've missed a blessing, so don't miss this. He is a very talented young man, and I enjoy it very much, so plan on coming for that. Sure. Yeah. So I encourage you to come. Oh, where's Russell at? I thought he was.
I think he's in the other building.
Okay. All right. I was thinking he was. We had recruited him for the choir, and he's missing in action.
Yeah, I know. I bought so myself.
Okay.
My dad's docking.
I didn't know we were getting paid.
Hey, I thought we was because we have a blast.
Oh, we do. We do have a good time. All right, Sunday, December the 30th, will be singing and fellowship. So more singing and more fellowship and more food. We have a good time here, right? So keep that in mind. This morning, Sam Donna, for nursery attendance, I see you're safely home.
Page number 59. Page 59.
While traveling through this world of sorrow, I've trusted, Lord, in Thee, that I may say,
I'm Good to see all those smiling faces out there this morning. Just good to see you here. But we're going to sing a special for you this morning. I think you're going to like. It's an old song, and all the old songs are good. And those are the only ones I know, so that's why we do them. So anyway, we're going to do Keep on the Firing Line.
Here we go. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on firing line. If you win the victory, brother, you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers which we all must face. If we die still fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service should not have a place. Keep on the firing line. Against all evil, never run though foes combine. If you would fight for God and right, keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. Shall be rewarded for our service here. Keep on the firing line. You must fight and pray against all evil. Never run nor foes combine. If you would fight for God and right, keep on the firing line.
Well, I used to, before Gene conned me into getting up here and singing, sit back there and be ready to go as soon as they got done. So I'm trying to get into this mode. But I have to tell you that I'm enjoying singing in the choir very much.
Amen.
And it's getting kind of full, Gene.
Hey, more the merrier.
Hey, we can move these benches and put some more seats up here. So
we got plenty more chairs.
Amen. enjoys the singing. Thank you for being a part. And if you're not, you don't have to be a good singer. I'm not. Just have to have, the Bible says, make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad you came. We're going to talk just a little bit out of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series on Baptist distinctives. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about created in the image of God. We're going to be reading out of Genesis 1, Genesis 3, and Romans 5. But to start with, normally this would be a Thanksgiving sermon this morning. And I'm not going to just preach the Thanksgiving sermon because of the series that we're in. I don't want to get too far off the beaten path or chase too many rabbits down the path. But before we get there, there's a few things that I want to comment on. Now, we as Americans have so much to be thankful for. Our freedoms came at a very high price. Many men and women gave their lives so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have today. This great nation was built upon the blood of those that believed in God and freedom and the unerring right of God's head. I fought for those freedoms so that we could today do what we do. I'm afraid that a lot of times we take what they did for granted and we're not thankful enough. Thanksgiving is a time of remembering, but you know what? We ought to remember it every day. Because I tell you what, this nation and this time that we live in is a gift to you from God. I want you to know that God smiled his blessings on you by allowing you to be an American citizen. And it's something to be cherished. People all over the world would give everything that they have to be where you're at. Also, if you're a member here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church, you're very blessed. Amen. To be a part of a great church, as am I. Very blessed. This is a wonderful church, and it's because of all the loving, caring, giving members who are just loving, caring, and giving. I don't know what else to say. And also because it's a church that seeks God's guidance and stands on the truth. Cindy and I are very, very blessed to serve here with you. Now, I think she's back there with Dawn. I'm going to go ahead and say what I was going to say anyway, whether she can hear it or not. I would be very remiss if I didn't tell you how blessed I am and how thankful I am to have such a good, sweet, God-fearing wife that I have. Cindy, if you can hear me, you're the best. And I love you. And I thank God for you. And I look forward to spending the rest of my life with you. And I hope that we get to spend the rest of our lives here with y'all at Oak Hill. Amen. My children, my grandchildren are also a great blessing to us. God has blessed us so much. Most especially, though, he blessed us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And I can't thank God enough for the blessing of being a born-again believer. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're missing the greatest blessing that this life affords. And I urge you to consider that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Oak Hill. Thank you, Miss Cindy. All right. That's just a little bitty short condensed list of everything that I've got to be thankful for. Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I tell you, it was really hard for me not just to preach a sermon on Thanksgiving, but because I love Thanksgiving, because I think maybe it helps us focus just a little bit. Here we go, number five, created in the image of God. But we've already talked in this series about creation, not just a sermon on creation, but it's been brought up, as I told you when we started this, there's no way that you can preach through a series like this without things overlapping. And so if we don't get a sermon just on creation, it's not because we didn't cover it. It's going to be covered in several different sermons one way or the other. As we've already talked about it some, we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. We've also talked about the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We went in depth and at length talking about how that they're independent, but also one. It is one God, okay? None more, less or more than the other. Now, this morning, we're going to go just a little bit further in our exploration of the subject of created in the image of God, okay? Genesis 1 and 26. We read this scripture some a few sermons back, but we're going to read it again. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, we've read this scripture over and over through the years. Think about this scripture, though, when it said, "God said, let us," is a direct pointer to the triune God in our image, after our likeness. Think about that for just a minute. What's the image of God? Has anybody ever seen God? Well, one part of him we did, not us, but in our past we saw Jesus, who is God in the flesh. And also, we've met, if you're a born-again believer, you've met God, the Holy Spirit, because he took up refuge in your soul. Now, the God, the Father, we've never seen. One of these days, I look forward to that day when we're going to get to be in the presence of him. So think about this. God is manifest as flesh, as a spirit, and as an intellect. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we must come to the conclusion then that if we're made in God's image, we also are multifaceted, all right? Also, I believe that we have to come to the conclusion that if we're made in God's image, we will exist for all eternity, okay? Now, we haven't always been like God has. God's been forever. He's going to be forever. But we were created in his image. So from the time that we were created, we're never going away. We're going to be somewhere. God is eternal. We're in his image. We also are eternal beings. All right. That is because God spoke distant the fish of the sea, but he reached down and out of the dust of the earth he created man, formed him with his hands, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he gave mankind a part of himself. And folk, I don't care what anybody says, we are not animals like the deer and the dogs and the cats that are running around out here, because we have a part of God in us. And that makes us eternal. We will never cease to exist. Folk, I think we need to understand that this morning, that we have people that believe that when you die, you just go into non-existence. And we have people that believe that when you die, you'll be reincarnated into something else. And let me tell you something. You are the highest form that God has ever created. You're not going to be reincarnated. You don't just cease to exist. You're eternal. Okay? Now, we see all kinds of space movies and stuff like that. You can't just jump on a spaceship and go somewhere else. You're not going to just be floating in space or anything like that. But you are eternal. Now, there's only two options available. This is important, so pay attention. Two options, okay? One is this eternal you can choose Jesus and live in the presence of God forever, or you can choose to reject Jesus and live in hell for eternity. That's the only two choices. Now, Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. I want you to understand that the grace of God is sufficient. There have never been more sin than there was grace from God. You can't use it up. It never runs out, and it lasts eternity. If you believe on Jesus Christ, believe on Him, trust in Him, and His ability to come back and receive us unto self, and you're saved then from the penalty of sin. There is penalty for sin. Is anybody here not a sinner? Well, if you'd have said yes, I'd have said, well, that's one. Because the Bible tells us we've all sinned. Okay? It also tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this choice gives us a new glorified... It's going to be in the series, but we as Baptists believe that Jesus is going to come back into the air and He's going to call those of us who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior up to be with Him, and we're going to be changed. I'm going to get in a body that's glorified, sinless, and will never have to die again. Amen. Those of our brothers and sisters that have believed and went on before us and their bodies are buried in the ground, they're going to be resurrected and changed. And I look so forward to that day. That choice gives us a new glorified body, never to be separated. Oh, and by the way, freedoms. That new glorified body is going to have freedoms. Now, we preached the series some time back about heaven. And boy, I tell you, I learned a lot whenever I studied up for that. I want you to know that when you get this glorified body, you're going to have a lot of freedom to do a lot of different things and to rule and reign on this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, that's another sermon. We'll get to that at another day. But it's one I especially like to talk about. Or, choice number two. Okay? You can choose to reject God's plan and spend eternity in hell with Satan and his angels. I want the choice one or choice two. Okay, the choice two means that you're not going away either. If you'll read in Luke chapter 16, you'll see that Lazarus and the rich man, one was carried into Abraham's bosom, the other opened his eyes in torment in hell. There is no in between. He was locked in a place of isolation and pain. You see, if you reject Jesus Christ, forever separated from God. We talk a lot about the fire and hell and stuff like that, and I know that I believe that that's going to be a part of it. But I think the worst part of hell is going to be that total isolation and separation from God, knowing that you could have been in the presence of God, and I can't change that decision. No freedom. Only damnation. I heard a guy ask one day as he was leaving a business, where are you going? He said, I'm going to hell if I don't change my ways. What a statement. Well, for one thing, the cold hard truth of that is your ways are not what sends you to hell. It's your choice. Because we all, each one of us, are guilty. And so unless we decide to choose God's way, we're all headed on a path straight to hell. But we don't have to suffer the penalty of sin. God made a way. God made a way. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we really realize what we have to be thankful for? Because God furnished us what we could never do for ourselves. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, eternal punishment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now if you're here today or if you're listening on the internet and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I got bad news for you. unless you decide or unless you're led, unless you make that commitment, you are headed on a path straight to hell. I heard a guy say one time, I'm going to go to hell and be where all my friends are at. Let me tell you something, friend. If you go to hell, you ain't got no friends down there. You ain't got none. But you don't have to go. Now, because we are eternal beings like God, we do have a destiny. We do have to live forever. So don't make any mistake about that. You don't cease to exist just because you choose not to exist. You don't cease to exist if you choose to reject Jesus and go to hell. You continue on for eternity. Do you know that eternity is not 1 second closer to being over than it was when God created this earth? Amen? Forever. All right. God created Adam in His image and placed him and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, let's think about the Garden of Eden here for just a minute. It's a perfect place where they had everything that they could ever want. Right? I mean, they had it all. It was free to them. There was only one thing in that whole garden, that beautiful garden, with all the goodness and greatness and perfection of God, there was only one thing in there that they couldn't eat. Guess what they did? Us people, as my little grandson would say, we humans. Yeah? Choices. There's always choices. We all get to choose just like Adam and Eve did. They chose. You get a choice. Although, one difference is that Adam's choice caused us all to inherit this thing that we call a sin nature. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. We got Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's another sermon. We're not going to dig too deep into that one right now. But look, that wasn't what God said. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. That was just for you, David. Leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, guys, we're good at this. The woman whom thou gavest to me, be with me. She gave me the tree and I did eat. Well, it was all Eve's fault, wasn't it? Well, you know what? Eve was deceived. Adam knowingly sinned. And because of that, we were cast in to this sin nature. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, you know, let's think about that for a second. I want you to think about the things that are going on in the world. And when you see people today, they are never pass the buck. Well, the serpent made me do it. Well, Cindy made me do it. It was Joyce's fault. But it's probably David's fault. But it wasn't mine. But let me tell you something. Whenever you stand before Jesus Christ, that's not going to fly. Because we're all guilty. All right? Save some time. I won't read the rest of it, but read it when you have a minute. But I want to just kind of paraphrase, and then we're going to read a few more scriptures. But Adam and Eve had everything in that garden. I mean, think about it. They didn't have the thorns and the thistles and stuff. They had perfection. God did not create anything that wasn't perfect. Adam and Eve was perfect until they chose to sin. Satan and his angels were perfect until they chose to sin. Adam and Eve had the garden. They even got to walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what they gave up? They didn't have weeds. They didn't have none of that stuff. And they had God to talk to. And they gave that up. Oh. You know, I think about the garden. All they had to do was walk through it and pick that big old succulent juicy fruit off of all those trees that were there that were legal. But they just had to have that one that wasn't. Couldn't leave it alone. Temptation. It all comes down to choices, friend. It's all your choice. Do you realize that God does not need you or me to exist? He's always been. He always will be. He don't need us. What we need to understand is that we need Him. Because without Him, we're nothing. Adam knew when he accepted that fruit offered by Eve that he was disobeying God. He knew it. And he did it anyway. God knew it was going to happen, though, because God knows everything. God is so amazing. I want you to know God is never caught by surprise. He always knows what's coming. Verse 21, Genesis 3 and 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. And their eyes were open, they knew they were naked. They went and they got leaves and tried to cover themselves. But God knew that without the shedding of innocent blood, there is no remission of sin. These animals hadn't done anything. The ones that God slew to make these coverings. He slew these innocent animals. This blood was shed as a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He'd do for us one of these days, and He's done it. Oh, and also other consequences to their sin. They were barred from the Garden of Eden, and these flaming swords and these cherubs were placed across the entrance to keep man out. There is consequences to sin, my friend. Don't fool yourself. We will stand before Jesus and answer for the deeds done in the body. But, like everything else we've talked about in this series, God has a plan because we're made in His image. He has a plan for us. Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and 12. Look what he's saying. Wherefore, as by one man, that'd be Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all guilty. But Adam's sin cast all mankind into the nature of sin. Let me tell you, the Bible is very plain. The law in the Old Testament was very strict and no one could live it. The law was never meant to save man. The law was only ever meant to show us that we couldn't live good enough and we had to have divine intervention. Adam is the one man that sin entered into the world through. Adam is the one that caused a separation between God and man. But we're all equally guilty because none of us can live without sin. But look, here's what God did for us. Look down at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam cast us into sin. Jesus paid the price for our sin. Jesus allows us to be redeemed from sin, bought back. But oh, what a price God paid. He sent Jesus down here to pay the debt we couldn't pay. It's not because of how good or bad you are. It's because of who God is that we have the privilege of being born again. He sent His Son to die for us on the cross so that we could once again be united with God. Don't you see? God's plan has never changed. God's plan has always been that mankind would spend eternity with Him. And God's plan hasn't changed. Those of us who choose His way will be afforded that great privilege. You can spend eternity with God if you will but just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God did that for us. Do you see what we have to be thankful for today? We have so much to thank God for, but most especially Jesus. Because Jesus was willing and able to give Himself on that cross for us. But you, like everyone else, like Adam, like me, like everyone, have to choose. You have to choose. Now, I want you to know something this morning. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can believe that God exists. That's not going to get you saved. You have to choose God's way. God's way is through the shed blood of Jesus. You see, Romans tells us, I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, we're saved only from our sins by the grace of God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, and that there's no other way to get into heaven. You know, you have to choose Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm gonna put it off. I want to wait. Someday I'm going to do it. Well, I've got news for you, friend. The Bible also tells us, except you be drawn, you can't be saved. If the Spirit is drawing you into salvation, you better grasp on to that and do it, because you may not get another chance. And if you reject it, you're headed straight for hell. You see, if you choose to reject Jesus this morning, you've made a choice. And you may not get another choice or chance. Choose Jesus and be saved from the penalty of sin. And be like me, sinner, saved by the grace of God. There's only two kind of people in the world. Lost sinners and saved sinners. Ask yourself this morning, which am I? Well, I'm saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And thank you, Holy Spirit. How about you? Oh, I don't mean I don't still mess up. Don't mean I don't still sin. But my sins are covered by the blood. And Jesus is coming back, and may it be soon. Take me to heaven to be with him. And I want you to go with me. And you can. All you have to do is trust and believe. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for your word. We have so much to be thankful for, but most especially, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be redeemed or bought back from the penalties of sin. I thank you for your plan, your perfect plan that's afforded to every man, no matter what the color of their skin or how they were raised or how rich or how poor or how smart. Lord, thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for saving my soul so many years ago. I thank you for keeping my soul saved even when I didn't act like I should. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for allowing me to be able to stand here and talk about Jesus. I thank you for this church. But I thank you, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And at this time, Lord, I pray that if there's any amongst us that don't know Jesus, that the Spirit would draw and that would convict to the point that they just can't sit in those pews. Or maybe someone's listening to this later on the internet and that they're drawn, Lord. I know and you know they don't have to be here to be saved. They just have to call upon the name of the Lord and believe. Trust and obey. I thank you for that privilege, for that great gift. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life.
188. 188.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace.
The song, these old songs have such great messages. There's room for you. Listen to the words. There's never, ever more sin than there are grace. There's room for everybody. You don't have to give up your place. God made a way for everyone. I want you to know that heaven has always been big enough for everyone that's ever been conceived. You ain't crowding me out, but I ain't keeping you from going. All you got to do is choose. There's room. Listen to the words as you sing this good old song. As we sing another verse.
Glory. at the cross for you.
Hey, if you're visiting, we're sure glad to have you and invite you back any chance you get.